Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRC, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info and crazy internet arguments at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich and Matt the Minion. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy.
Doing well.
Well, that's good. I can't see Matt the Minion right now because there's a computer monitor in the way.
I'll turn that.
Hey, I need to look at him or otherwise I can't do the show. So we got a really, really interesting show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be joined by Dr. Sherman House and the William April talking about the Polypalooza training event at the end of, well, it's not the end of August. I guess the mid...
Early
16th
August.
16th and 17th, so yeah. Mid-August. Yeah. We'll be talking about that and also just training in general. Going to sort of discuss the types of training that one can look for and what maybe is or is not helpful when you're doing that sort of thing. Hey, vagueness. So just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. So last week's show we recorded with Paul Gardner. It was, I thought, a really good show. I certainly appreciated having him on because Matt and I were in the lovely San Francisco Bay Area doing an event with Triple Ought Design. Did you have fun out there, Matt?
I had a lot of fun.
You're so talkative. It's great.
I did learn some stuff out there, too. I had a really good time.
Wow, you just made that sound so incredibly interesting.
Exciting.
San Francisco. Yeah. So we did a training event, though, at Triple Ought Design's Dog Patch headquarters. It was sort of interesting because we got to use the Next Level Training Cert laser pistols with a piece of software called laser-activated shot response, I want to say that was. But essentially, it allowed us to use cert training pistols as if they were actual guns and score hits on targets and record times and things like that. We had two different relays, I guess, one the first part of the day and one the second part of the day. Second part of the day, everyone was competing against me for a $500 stealth LT coat. And though Trevor Fiatale got really close, my second run just destroyed him, and he cried sad, sad tears. It was actually kind of amusing. Trevor's probably listening right now because I know he listens to the show pretty regularly. So, hey, Trevor. Anyway, what else do we have going on right now? We should be getting the FNS-9 long slide back from the environmental test at the end of August, which I'm really excited to see how it ended up doing. Knight's Armament test rifle is still running strong, right around 700 or 800 rounds. I'd have to go look. I'm still planning on sending that out to Cerakote, which should be kind of cool. I'm not sure what kind of rifle I'll get back. It might be a Care Bear.
Pink.
Yeah, pink. Care Bear rifle. Could do that. Everyone loves Care Bears.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah. So, had an interesting court decision in D.C. the other day that we posted on, well, and by we, I mean Andy, because I tend not to follow the legal side of things as closely as I do some of the other stuff. But it looks like it's going to pave the way for not only concealed carry in D.C., but reciprocity with every other state that's got a concealed carry program.
Or at least they're going to have to make some adjustment
allowment
for
right.
It's a federal enclave, so it's
right.
Different than
everywhere else.
State. So
we'll see what ends up happening. And I'm sure it'll end up going to the Supreme Court, at which point I would assume they'd uphold their earlier decisions that this was based off of.
I think so. I would not carry a gun right now, though, in D.C.
No. It's still illegal, so don't
do
it. Had something else interesting happen, too, in Pennsylvania. We saw a psychiatrist, I want to say that he was, working at a hospital on the psychiatric floor, have a patient come up and, unfortunately, did kill one individual, I want to say, but shot some others. But this was a no-guns-allowed signs posted hospital and everything. And it would have been a lot worse, but the psychiatrist decided to ignore those signs himself and managed to shoot the active killer three times, I want to say, and then subdue him after the fact. So we finally have gotten to see a really, really good, almost perfect example of how completely pointless those signs are. And we, unfortunately, there was loss of life involved, but it was kind of lucky just in regards to, instead of just a bad guy ignoring it this time, there was a good guy with a gun there, which I know the opposition.
Mom's Demand Action says that does not happen.
Yeah, there are no good guys with guns. I don't want to say the liberals, because that's not, A, I'm not political, and I'm pretty liberal about some things myself. It's and as much as people like to politicize this issue on a wide scope, I don't think you can. But the anti-gunners, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. have insisted all this time that the signs are effective, and if you ban guns places, then you will see less injuries occur, and hey.
And no one armed with a gun has ever stopped a crime.
So right, basically. Right, because guns only do bad things. Yeah. It's nothing to do with the person that's armed with them. And usually I don't talk about this sort of stuff because I don't want to, but I thought this was certainly something that should be brought up and should be discussed just because it is it's very pertinent, I think, to the national conversation that's taking place about guns and gun violence right now, and especially workplace violence. It's also mental health issues and firearms. So you can I have we posted a link to that on the Facebook page? Not yet.
To the shooting? No.
I don't think so.
We can get something on there, though.
The hospital that gentleman works at did just announce, actually, that they were very much looking forward to having him back at work. The doctor that saved the day and, you know, against policy, had a firearm. Mm-hmm. So apparently he's not going to be facing any reprimands from his employer, which is the way it should go. But there was some question as to whether or not he would still have a job after he saved all those lives because, hey, you weren't supposed to carry a gun there.
Well, that would be a hard one to explain.
Wouldn't it? I don't think that would play too well in any
sense.
Thank you
for saving people, but we have to can you because
Well, that's happened.
Guns are bad.
There's been...
Oh, it has happened.
Especially, it seems to be very popular convenience stores that have, you know, no employee armed policies. I can think of at least two or three, but... Anyway, we'll get to the actual show in just a minute. We're going to have to go to commercial here. Like I said, I'm very excited to have Dr. Sherman House joining us and the William April, who continues to be one of our more popular guests. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he is I was going to say the Mac Daddy, but that's like 90s. Wow, I'm dating myself here. The king, grand poobah of the violent criminal actor and how to spot them and, more importantly, not be selected by them. So, like I said, I think I've filled enough time now, and we'll just go to break, and we'll pretend like I didn't do this last minute and a half of airtime. So right now, we're going to go to break. Once we get back, we'll have Dr. Sherman House, William April joining us. You are listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. Also, a reminder, this segment brought to you by Walther and the new PPX. Good choice on the non-point there, Eric. I appreciate that. He's giving me the thumbs up. Anyway, so he's eating his dinner, too, so it was kind of mean of me to interrupt. I was kind of like the waiter that comes up and asks you how the food is when your mouth is full just then.
I hate that.
Yeah, anyway.
My wife does, too.
I'm going to shut up now and get the actual interesting people on the show. Joining us this evening, we've got Dr. Sherman House and the William April. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, John.
Hey, I set that up so they'd both be talking over each other, and I just wanted to see how they'd handle that. Because
you got me with my mouth full.
Oh, God. Well, don't go there. It's not that kind of show.
Unlike you, we handled it professionally.
Oh, well, I never said I was professional. Actually, I've said many times that I'm not professional, but that's what everyone loves about me. So we'll actually get on to the show that people probably want to hear, where we, like, tell them things that is informative and entertaining as opposed to me just running my mouth for the next 30 minutes. I'll start with you, Dr. House. Can you introduce yourself just real quick and go over your background, and then we'll go to the William, who should need no introduction.
Sure. I'm a dentist here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a hospital dentist by trade. Prior to that, I was a fireman and emergency medical technician for 10 years, and then concurrently worked as an armored truck guard for 10 years in the Seattle and North Seattle area.
Okay. William, if you don't mind.
Well, okay. Not as impressive as Sherman. I'm a mid-career mental health professional, but also had some time in law enforcement, both at the local level here in New Orleans and also working as a special deputy U.S. Marshal for the Eastern District of Louisiana. Have been training folks since the early 90s and a whole variety of stuff.
Cool. And for people that are listening, they're actually being really, really humble. There's a bunch of secret squirrel ninja stuff that they're not mentioning because they can't. But if you do a Google search, I'm sure it'll pop up. So I guess where I'll start off is, you know, we all attend training. That's actually probably, well, that's how we've met each other, is in the training industry and the training environment. We've got Polypalooza, which is a training conference coming up in middle August that you guys are actually some of the organizers behind. Do you mind talking about Mr. Paul Gomez and what the conference is doing for his children?
Well, sure. Sherman should definitely go first. It was.
Well, the way it all happened was originally when, you know, there was, for the people who don't know about it, you know, originally when Paul, before we had realized that he'd passed away, we'd all thought that he just kind of went off the radar for a few days, you know, unannounced, which was not unheard of him to do. And so when the news like finally came out, you know, that he was gone, you know, I had been already in contact with William and Southnark and Paul Sharp and you know, a lot of the other dudes that are, you know, basically I guess the TPI community, and had said, you know, like, you know, we were all kind of brainstorming about how we can find him before we realized that he had passed away. And so, you know, talking to all these guys and stuff, I thought, right after I found out that he was gone, I thought, man, you know, like, if it was me that this happened to, like, what would Paul do to get my kids grown up, you know? And right. I thought the best way to do it was to have a conference, you know, have a tax bill conference, but have it be weird, you know, have it be not the usual, you know, just conventional tax bill conference, have it be kind of a semi-esoteric sort of weird material stuff that Paul was really into. Like, Paul really, really loved, like, really small details about, you know, very, very specific things, to the point of hilarity. And it would be something that we would all kind of joke about, like, you know, Paul's going to talk now for 2.5 hours on, you know, why is there snaps on duty gear instead of Velcro? Like, things like that, you know?
Right.
And so we thought, hey, it would be cool to have, you know, this kind of thing. And so I talked to April, to William April, talked to Paul Sharp, talked to Southnark and a bunch of dudes, and I said, let's do this thing. And so luckily, William is much more adept at organizing than I am. You know, I have staff that keep me organized, so I just kind of, you know, aimlessly walk around until people tell me to go into a room and do something. And so William was gracious enough to really take the reins on getting all that put together as far as organization. And then we got with the guys from Raven Concealment and kind of that gave us a venue, and that's how we made it all happen. And the first year, you know, like William and I have joked around about it that, like, it was really, 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 like, by the skin of our teeth kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And a lot of the people that were presenters and stuff, you know, were kind of anxious, like, you guys aren't going to throw this thing to, you know, you're not going to get this together. It's not going to work. You don't have enough time. And, but we made it happen. And so this is kind of what we're hoping to achieve, you know, every year now, with this. So.
Right. When I actually attended the first the inaugural event, and I was really impressed, especially, like you said, it got put together last minute. And for those that maybe didn't pick up on it, what they're doing here is all the time from the instructors is donated, and the entrance fees for the students is going into a trust for Paul Gomez's children, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. William,
and then kind of another big feature of this that sort of was kind of a coincidence the first time, and now it's sort of a regular thing, is, you know, there's an auction there, and we have, you know, all kinds of equipment that was either inspired or designed by Paul, or there's things that were owned by Paul or worn by Paul,
right.
Things like that, that you know, people bid on, and then with William April being the auctioneer, and then all the proceeds from that also go into the Kids Trust. So the Kids Trust so far has been a great success. We've actually paid for Paul's oldest daughter for her schooling. We've bought two sets of braces for the younger children, and we've bought you know, computer and computer supplies for college. So
right.
It's been absolutely invaluable to Paul's kids.
Well, and you mentioned the auction, so I suppose now is as good a time as any. Ballistic Radio is going to be, we managed to, through secret channels and strange backroom meetings, procure one of the very, very rare Borsite Solutions M&P 9mm that Bennett Borsite has worked over that will be auctioned off at the Polypalooza event. And interestingly enough, little factoid, I actually want to say it's the only M&P he's ever done that's got his logo on it. So
awesome.
Yeah, if you're into rare stuff, there will be that, and there's going to be all sorts of other cool stuff, but that's the only one that I know for sure because we're the ones bringing it. But
cool.
Yeah. So, William, if you don't mind, we'll sort of skip gears and shift gears, and come back to the training event in the later segment. As far as training goes, and Sherman sort of alluded to, it's not the usual sort of tactical shooting course where you go, and not that there's anything wrong with these, but you go and you work on skill building drills in front of cardboard and just sort of wash, rinse, repeat, and then the instructor is making small suggestions to you throughout the day. This has got a lot more, I should say, lesson plans that will make you think. In general, what kind of training do you think people should maybe be looking for once they learn how to shoot?
Sure. You know, Paul, for the people that didn't have the good luck to know him, was kind of like the hard drive of the industry. And everything went in and everything came out. And you know, so we wanted an approach to training that would really do him justice. And so, you know, that's why he was so important to the establishment of the TPI paradigm, as it's come to be called, is a kind of training that's breathful and depthful. Mm-hmm. That it can't just be gun guys staring at cardboard and courses that are judged by what's the round count. And so we went out of our way to have a training event that is in equal parts, sort of from the neck up and the neck down. You know, there's obviously handgun shooting, long gun shooting, some in-depth medical training that Paul was way out in front of the industry in terms of highlighting the importance of. You know, tons of hand-to-hand, and I think that's important because, you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and if all you're carrying is a gun and all you're familiar with is a gun, everything is a shooting problem.
Right.
And Paul was very very much in the avant-garde of sort of pushing that. And so we wanted a training event that would really not just cover those areas, but cover each of those areas in a great amount of depth.
Right. And it is funny you mentioned less lethals because I know Lieutenant Chuck Haggard, who's been a guest on the show a couple times now, is going to be teaching an OC spray course for the concealed carrier. But I've been trying to convince the minion to get a shot of Fox Labs in the face at the training conference. I have not convinced him yet, but that may be an event. So we'll see.
What if that were an auction item?
Ooh. Well, I think he'd have to say yes to that, wouldn't you, Minion?
We'll see. I'm thinking about it.
Well, maybe if he doesn't, I will. So, and I know there's a lot of people that would pay money to mace me in the face. So
I'd like to see it cry.
I'll start the bidding right there, John.
Yeah. We'll talk about that off air, maybe. I'd rather get tased if I had to pick one. But we've got about...
We can set that up.
I know you could. Once again, auction item. Hey, it could be like a double shot. You know, mace me and then tase me while I'm making...
And we can have a dunk tank.
Yes, with sharks and lasers.
Like all at the same time.
Yeah, no. Man, I wouldn't come back from that conference. Hey, we got to go to break. When we get back, we will be talking more with Dr. Sherman House and the William April. Get into the TPI paradigm and also the violent criminal actor and how to spot and avoid those individuals. But right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of firearms finishes so tough you need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearm needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. So, before we went to break, we were discussing whether or not I would get any money donated to the charity if I auctioned off a chance to mace John from Ballistic Radio in the face. That might be a thing, but I reserve the right to try and outbid people to not get maced in the face. So, anyway, joining us this evening, Dr. Sherman House and the William April. Gentlemen, are you still there?
I am.
Perfect.
Still here.
Hey, I didn't hang up on anybody yet, and that's usually a concern when I've got two people on the line because there's so many buttons that I can press on accident. Anyway.
Don't push any.
Yeah, I'll try not to. I'll just sit here. So before the break, we were kind of talking about the esoteric nature of the Polypalooza training conference that's coming up and some of the things that will be a little bit different there, and we'll get into that a little bit more next segment. I would like to talk just a little bit about TPI and what that is, and also kind of what our end goal is as far as protection goes. William, do you mind starting?
Not at all. I think if you look at the Total Protection Interactive Board is a great place to start, of course. But the TPI paradigm, I think, is kind of anchored by two gents who sort of make up part of the brain trust. If you look at the top end, it's Sebastian Pritchard, right? He's got a PhD from Oxford and is a Naval Buds graduate whose ideal is sort of the Batman approach. Incredibly high-level skills in everything across the board defensively, just seeking to dominate every phase of every environment. But then at the other end, you've got Claude Werner, a guy who has obviously, tremendous experience, military experience, special forces, but whose goal is to have people do just enough to win.
Right.
Winning very, very parsimoniously. But if you look, they all fit in that paradigm because the paradigm is about creating a framework for you, a platform for you to exist in the world in a way that you can dominate to the degree necessary the environment that you face, whatever it is. The mental agility. Paul used to say to me over and over again, we need to develop agile thinkers and competent doers. And I think TPI does a really good job of forwarding that paradigm.
Right. And for people that maybe get a little bit confused as far as, and I've kind of talked about this, there's some other people that have talked about it a lot. As far as self-defense goes, I know a lot of people that don't necessarily get into it at a high level because they say, well, I don't want to live my life any differently. And I guess the nice thing about the TPI paradigm is that you find a level that fits your lifestyle and sort of cruise in that at that altitude.
Absolutely right. I mean, when Claude Werner talks about, feeling perfectly well armed with a sub-caliber pocket pistol, what goes hand in hand with that is that his awareness, avoidance, deterrence, de-escalation are operating at a sublime level.
Right.
And so, is he undergunned? Sure, but not underarmed. Far from it.
Right.
And I think the TPI paradigm allows for that.
Well, and there was some dude that wrote an article about the higher the level of training that you've attended and or I should say achieved, because just showing up doesn't count. But if you've actually absorbed the material and put it into practice, the less likely you are to ever need a tool. And by tool, I mean a gun or, if you're a knife guy, a knife or whatever, because you avoid the situation. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think that is difficult to test, but just on its face value seems to be very, very true.
Yeah.
That if you can compensate in one area to make up for tremendous areas.
Right. So as far as I guess if someone were wanting to get involved in, you know, in the TPI initiative, where would be a good place to start as far as classes to look for that are maybe not shooting classes or mindset classes? How do you go about that?
Well, you know, John, now that you mentioned it, on August 16th and 17th, there's an incredible conference opportunity. But Polypalooza is designed to let people graze a little bit, to let people sample instructors in one place that ordinarily you'd have to go to all four corners of the continent to get. I mean, that's, you know, mixed combatives, vehicle-based jujitsu, medical intensive, medical for everyday carry, hand-to-hand stuff, mindset stuff. It allows you to graze and to sample very condensed versions of really high-level instruction and see what resonates with you. And then you can follow up with those different instructors. It gives you a frame of reference to judge other instructors by. I mean, having seen Craig Douglas do vehicle-based jiu-jitsu gives you a perspective on the jiu-jitsu school that you might be looking into.
Right.
Is this going to be adaptable to a framework that I'm going to carry forward from here on?
Well, and that seems to be something that I've seen people fall into the trap of. They find one instructor, and it's almost like the, you know, let's say I were a bearded tattoo guy that had a school. And
Svengali.
Yeah. Yeah, you find the, I practice the school of John Kung Fu, and every other Kung Fu is inferior. Have you noticed people getting really wrapped up into one methodology and maybe not exploring as many different areas as they should?
Well, I think, sure, it makes sense, though, because, you know, as someone tells you, here's the answer, and you get more skilled at providing that answer to those questions, you know, there's an incredible reward to that.
Right.
And seeking that kind of comfort and that kind of reinforcement, it's hypnotic almost. There's an incredible attraction to that sort of thing. And that's one of the elements of, you know, the TPI paradigm, so to speak, is test your stuff. Does it work? Yeah. Chris Fry from Modern Defensive Training Systems told me an incredible story of having come back from his first experience with the Extreme Close Quarter Concepts class taught by Craig Douglas, and he said he sat on the plane in sort of stunned silence, realizing my stuff doesn't work.
Right.
The stuff that I've spent a decade plus building doesn't work. And to his credit, he started from scratch.
Yeah.
And ran everything through the filter of, will this work compared to other stuff? Will it work against, as Southner calls it, an opposing will, an active opponent? You know, so the training should be focused, especially the hand-to-hand training, on aliveness, on resistance, on, you know, the avoidance of pre-planned structures.
Yeah.
And that's an important part of the TPI paradigm.
Well, and when you say pre-planned structures, you're talking about conditioned responses to specific attacks almost, or just concrete thinking of what you will do in a given situation.
Sure. I mean, I think any training that can be reduced to when they do this, I'll do that, limits you to them doing that.
Yeah.
And almost the first thing that happens in any free-form training environment is somebody doesn't hit you right.
Yep.
And so, you know, there are lots of practitioners who, when somebody doesn't hit them right or attack them right, the mechanism simply stops in place.
Right.
They don't have a parking spot in their head for that. And that's why we need adaptive training, you know, agile thinkers, competent doers.
So, and it's interesting too, because I can think of a couple of pretty well-known instructors off the top of my head that sort of, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to, and you can't make me, so there. But they seem to fall into that trap of teaching conditioned responses to things. And I've always found it interesting to talk to them a little bit about why they do what they do and how often they cannot explain why they do what they do, you know, which seems to be one of the big, giant, glowing signs that maybe you should rethink who you're getting your information from. As far as what, we'll kind of fast forward a little bit, and you said people not having a parking space in their head for a non-standard action being taken against them, like something they've not trained for. Do you mind talking a little bit about that in the next 2 minutes as far as people adjusting their thinking to maybe account for things out of the ordinary?
Sure. You know, the world is constantly drowning us in information, and we're sort of producing an almost equal amount from the inside out. a cognitive shortcut is the mind and the brain conspire to produce what are called schema. They're lenses or filters through which we see the world. They allow us to take some incredible shortcuts. If you've driven a car, you can kind of figure out any car if you just look at it long enough because it fits in your schema. But, you know, schema for experiences are great because they can shortcut you to a response. But schema are also, for all their strength and shortcutting ability, they're also a little bit inflexible. And data that doesn't fit into a schema can lead the mechanism, if you will, to reboot and replay a schema that clearly doesn't fit the situation. And given how fluid violent encounters can be, given how fluid, you know, life-threatening encounters of any kind can be, a schema, though it's great, is a little bit like a stepladder.
Right.
The height's wonderful, but you trade stability.
Okay. And I guess what you tend to see there is when people start talking about someone's OODA loop resetting as far as observe, you know, orient, decide, and act, and that's our decision-making process. When mm-hmm. you have a schema that locks you into something, it can sort of interrupt that? Exactly.
And I think Boyd's point was that if you train people to be rapid pressure adaptive thinkers by teaching them the process of an OODA loop, you can resist the temptation to get stuck in a schema or in a paradigm that doesn't fit the circumstance. If your schema is impermeable to new data, you're stuck. Teaching people how to decide quickly under fluid circumstances, that was the point of Boyd's approach. And Gomez was a huge fan of Boyd and could lecture for 4 hours on OODA loop off the top of his head. And it was a really striking experience to hear it.
And one of my greatest regrets, and I've said this many times, I never got to have a conversation with Paul when he was alive. We've got to go to break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and go over the conference one more time for people that have missed it. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. And hey, this segment brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. Join some of the top trainers in the country August 16th and 17th at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in northern Ohio, where they will be teaching some of the most vital self-defense skills that every armed citizen should know. Citizen? Lesson blocks will cover a myriad of topics suitable for shooters and students of all skill levels. It's a great place to start if you've never gone to a class. For more information, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on ballisticradio.com. Registration is only $250, and all of the money is going to benefit the Paul Gomez Children's Trust. Remember, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on the ballisticradio.com homepage for more information, and save the date, August 16th and 17th. So, speaking of Polypalooza, we're actually talking with the organizers of that conference about the criminal assault paradigm and also the Total Protective Interactive Initiative. I forgot what the I stands for, and I'm just throwing stuff out there. Anyway.
Initiative, that sounds cool. It sounds like the Avengers Initiative.
Doesn't it? We should totally start an Avengers Initiative, Sherman.
I thought I was already in it.
Oh, I wasn't invited, dude.
You're late to the party.
Oh, man. All right. So before we got off the air, we were talking about training schemas and how they can limit our response and more importantly, make us not as agile of thinkers as we need to be. And you were discussing OODA loops and kind of where Boyd was going with that. As far as having an agile mind, William, what are some things to look for, maybe some things that people can do on their own if they can't make it to a trainer, or some information that they could look for if they can't make it to a class somewhere?
Well, it is limiting to work by yourself mm-hmm. because it's very difficult to surprise yourself.
I do it every day.
Not in a good way, man.
No, that's true. So,
one thing that I think is important that you can do in a solitary training mode without instructor is judge yourself by objective standards. Par times for shooting drills and exceed them. Buy a timer.
Right.
Use targets. I know that sounds strange, but it's a matter of ceding control instead of saying, well, I shot that drill well enough.
Yeah.
You need to know, did you shoot it fast enough? Did you meet a time standard? Did you meet an accuracy standard? Where do you need to work? But you know, at some point, all training is going to have to involve, an opposing will, as Craig Douglas says. Someone who's not going along with your program will find a weak spot and will exploit it. And that's an introduction to the criminal assault paradigm right there.
Okay. As far as, and I know we don't really have enough time to talk about victim selection in any sort of depth, but I'd like to get a minute or two on that, and then we'll go over the conference one more time for the people that may have missed it. as far as victim selection and how to not be part of that, what are some general things?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is a conscious recognition that you are producing and exporting data about yourself all the time. And that data is a little bit like information on the internet. Once it's out, you're not able really to control it. It goes where it goes, and it's analyzed by who it's analyzed by, and it's used by people who are seeking to use it. And just because you didn't intend it to be used that way doesn't mean it won't. Data about yourself, that's, even things that are difficult to change, like physical structure or physical behavior like stride length, things like that, they're not really under your conscious control all the time, but they can be used against you.
Right.
It's sort of a, perverse Miranda warning. Everything you produce can and will be used against you. And I don't think most people think that they are sending messages about themselves, especially to violent criminal actors, but they are.
So if I walk out of the mall and I'm got my face buried in the phone and I'm, limping slightly and in general moving slow, what are some things I may be showing people when I do something like that?
Unpreparedness, incapacity, vulnerability, nothing good. What you're basically sending is a signal that answers a very pruned down decision tree for a criminal. Go or no go.
Right.
Do I do the thing I do to this person? Do I use my assault paradigm to achieve my end, or do I not? And all of the things you've described are go signals, not no-go signals.
Right.
The other thing that I think people don't realize is how readily you can stop sending go signals and start sending no-go signals. There are things that can be done. They're not esoteric. It's not some kind of obscure science. And you can change the way you're perceived, because you only have to alter that perception for the moment of choice.
Okay.
If you can alter the criminal's choice for that moment of selection, you win. You win by being deselected.
So I guess part of that would, if you're not willing to change your personality, for lack of a better term, or at least your public persona, to constantly project the no-go stuff, a big part of that would be noticing that you're being paid attention to in the first place?
Absolutely. I mean, awareness is a very unusual thing in the modern day. We're more aware than ever. There are more sources for us to get information, but we're less aware than ever. We don't seem to participate in our surroundings to a very great degree anymore. And we tend to presume that if that's true of us, it's true of everyone.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
It's not true at all.
Well, and that seems to be one of the bigger mistakes is when, especially when you're dealing with criminals, for a politically correct term that I may call them, is sure, making the assumption that they're just like you and I, and they're not.
Ascribing our own mental states to others can be a fatal mistake.
Right.
If you're a decent, God-fearing sort of fella, isn't everyone?
Right.
No, not true at all. And so I think it's hard for nice people to develop what I call healthy mistrust.
Yeah. Mm.
Where, is this person out to kill me? Most likely not, but they could be.
Yeah, and it's just, well, that's always an important question to ask yourself when meeting new friends from the internet. Sorry. I had to throw some sort of non-serious statement into the last segment. So we got 2 or 3 minutes left in the show. I want to give Dr. House an opportunity to speak, just because I seem to not have done that very well. And I'm sorry, Dr. House, and that probably explains why you've not invited me into your Avengers initiative. But, I said something else kind of funny. So at the training conference, you're actually teaching something about 22 calibers for self-defense, correct?
That's correct.
Didn't you come on some dude's radio show and talk about that?
I sure did, months ago.
Wow. If anyone would like to check out that interview, ballisticradio.com, it is posted on the website. I'm curious. I know you guys are both instructing at the event. Do you plan on sitting in on anyone else's classes?
Yeah, I plan on going to all the ones that I can. When I'm actually not teaching myself. So every time, I've gone to one of these, I've you kind of almost have to, like, pick, like, which ones am I going to be able to see? And then, of course, being on the administration side of it, you know, there's, you know, all kinds of behind the scenes
stuff that you have to end up
damage
doing.
Control that you have to do. Yeah. So, and then, you know, there's just a lot of milling around. So, I'm going to try and make as many of them as I can.
I was going to try and make you single out someone since they're all mostly friends of ours, but I thought better of that in the intervening time that it took you to answer. It's interesting. I'm looking at the instructor list that you have that are coming to this event, and that's actually at the polyplooza.com website. But almost every single individual that is teaching a class on either day has been a guest on the show and has just excellent, excellent perspective to provide people on their corner of the self-defense question. So I really highly suggest, I know I've been kind of beating this like a drum for the last 2 or 3 months now, but especially if you are listening, you know, in Cincinnati, it's about a 2.5 hour drive from here. It's $250, which is a really good deal for a 2-day training thing.
Excellent deal.
Yeah. You sounded kind of scary there.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
You getting sick?
A little weak.
Okay. And it's because you're old.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just went there. Anyway, and the other nice thing, too, is it's actually going to be for a good cause. And I know that some people don't like to line the pockets of the industry celebrities, but that is not what this event is about. So I really hope to see everyone up there. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me this evening.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate your time. So
glad to be here.
Hey, cool. I'll talk to y'all later. So next week we are going to be joined by Paul Sharp, who's going to be talking about his multidisciplinary approach to combat and aliveness and why he wears shirts that are 3 sizes too small. Anyway, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Also like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe, and we will see you next week.